I've always enjoyed art museums and galleries. As a kid, I remember visiting some of the iconic ones here in Vancouver, the Museum of Anthropology and the Vancouver Art Gallery. And since then, I've had the privilege of visiting many others around the world. What I love about art museums and galleries is that they're these inspiring places that tap into our imagination and soul. A few years ago, Michelle and I took our kids to the Vancouver Art Gallery to see an exhibition of paintings done by the French Impressionist Claude Monet. There were paintings of the French countryside and beautiful gardens, but there was one painting that caught my attention, and I kept going back to look at it. It's a painting called London Parliament, Reflections on the Thames. When Monet painted it in 1905, it was at a time when he was fascinated and inspired by the London smog of all things, and he was interested in how the fog played with the light patterns over the Thames River. Monet considered this specific painting unfinished, and it's certainly not his best work when you compare it to other pieces from the collection. But when I saw it on display, there was something so captivating about this connection between misty fog and light that it kept drawing me back to look at it. And I found myself just standing there, immersed in it. As I've reflected on the painting and this imagery of mist and light dancing together, it's become a beautiful metaphor about life and faith. That even when I'm in the midst of situations that feel dark and misty, light will eventually break through in new and creative and beautiful ways. That experience at an art gallery became a sacred moment for me, a tangible experience that connected me to a deep reality and truth in my faith. Last week, Pastor Ken began our series called Sacred Spaces. And just like we did last summer, we're filming each message from a different location around our city that can speak to us and allow us to experience God in fresh and creative ways. Today, I'm at the Dal Shindle Gallery at Regent College, located on the UBC campus. There's a beautiful exhibit finishing up here that was created in partnership with our friends at Sanctuary Mental Health. The exhibit is called Healing in Color, and it tells the stories of race, faith, and mental health through the visual work of Black, Indigenous, and peoples of color artists from around the world. It's an incredible and very timely collection. Art galleries are places of inspiration, where we can find ourselves drawn towards a piece of art because it connects to us, or it raises a compelling question that we can't let go of, or we hear the story that birthed it and it pulls a deep response out of us. In fact, we'll sometimes even use language like that to describe what we're feeling. That painting took my breath away. We mean that there is something so powerful and meaningful in that art piece or that story that it causes us to pause and awake to something that's beyond just colors on a canvas. It touches us in the very core of our being, in our soul. Well, that word inspire comes from the Latin word meaning to breathe into. Our very breath is connected to the moments that we call inspiration. And that's one of the reasons why I'm at this art gallery today. And surrounded by these beautiful and moving paintings of artists who have discovered faith and hope, even in the midst of difficulty and dark, misty times. It's a profound reminder that the beauty and breath of life can be found in unexpected places and canvases, and it can connect to my experience and to your experience. And this makes it a sacred space where God can show up. In fact, God's been showing up in unexpected spaces since the very beginning of our human story. And sometimes we need to go back to the beginning to remind ourselves of where we come from and to be filled with new breath and inspiration so we can keep moving forward in this journey and story called life. Here are the opening words found in the Bible. In the beginning, God created everything. The heavens above and the earth below. And here's what happened. At first, the earth lacked shape and it was totally empty. And a dark fog shaped and draped over the deep. while the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the empty waters. And then there was the voice of God, "Let there be light," and there was. And then, later on, we read these words. One day, the eternal God scooped dirt up out of the ground, and he sculpted it into this shape that we call human, and breathed the breath that gives life into the nostrils of the human. And the human became a living soul. I love how God begins working in the unexpected places, the places we can look at and write off, the places we think don't really matter or that we think can't change. But here, from the very beginning of our human story, we see that that's the very place and moment that God starts from. Darkness, formlessness, emptiness, dust, and dirt. Jewish scholars have pointed out the importance of the creation order, that first comes darkness and then light. And they go on to say the same is true about every area of our lives. In everything that we do and experience, we begin in the dark, a seed in the dirt, a baby in the womb, or an idea or a thought or a dream that's in a person's mind. God begins in the darkness with seemingly nothing. But he says, "I can do something with that." God starts with a blank canvas, just like every artist did in this gallery. Doesn't look like much, but that ordinary beginning also hints at something else. That in God's world, things are gonna get better. They're not gonna stay as they are. And instead, it's this movement and story from darkness to light, from messiness to formation, and from nothing to something. There have been so many times throughout my life story where I've been in that place of darkness and emptiness and fog, where it seems like nothing good is happening, where it seems that one roadblock after dead end after the other is the only reality. Maybe you sense that happening in your life today, and it's numbing and discouraging, and there are all sorts of questions and doubts that start to swirl in this chaotic way. But it's precisely in those moments where I need to pause and remind myself to come back to the beginning of the story and to trust that even though I can't see it right now, where things are heading, I know that God is still somehow at work. That even in the mist and the fog, light is gonna break through. Things may look insignificant and ordinary at first glance, but something is actually happening behind the scenes. In 1960, an MIT meteorologist named Edward Lawrence experienced this firsthand. He had been developing a computer program that could simulate and forecast weather conditions. On this particular day, he was in a hurry, and instead of entering the number 0.506127, which is what he had used in an earlier test, he rounded the number to the nearest thousandth, or 0.506, thinking it wouldn't make a difference. He left the lab, and when he came back, he was shocked to find that a radical change had happened in his weather conditions modeling. Lorenz estimated that the numerical difference between the original number and the rounded number was the equivalent of a puff of wind created by a butterfly's wing. He concluded that a minor event like the flapping of a butterfly's wing could conceivably alter wind currents and to eventually change weather patterns and conditions thousands of miles away. We know it now as the butterfly effect. Something that seems insignificant in the one moment can have a huge impact in the next. I think something like that is happening here in the opening verses of the Bible story, where we read that the Spirit of God is fluttering and hovering over the darkness. It may seem inconspicuous, but something significant is taking place. The language used in this verse is fascinating. The Hebrew word spirit or breath of God is in the feminine form, even though God transcends gender. She was fluttering over the darkness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. I want you to sit with that imagery for a moment. I find it so moving and beautiful. In our lives, we are so often in a hurry to move from darkness to light, to move away from uncertainty to stability, maybe even from questions to answers. We don't like sitting in that in-between tension and waiting. But God works at a different place. And instead of rushing to the result, God's Spirit pauses and is present in that moment, hovering in that place that on the surface only seems to be full of emptiness and messiness. God is present. A puff of wind created by a butterfly's wing can be amplified over and over, creating this powerful effect in our natural world. But think how much more of an impact and change can happen with the reality of a God who is present with us, hovering, fluttering over the darkness, the challenges, the hardships, the struggles in our lives. God is present in this moment in your life. And that reality makes all the difference. Some of you need to hear that truth today in your current situation. Let me say it again. God is present in this moment in your life. Do you know why birds sing just before dawn? Scientists believe it's a way for them to tell each other that they made it through the night. A way of saying, I'm still here. The night may have been long, uncertain, even dangerous, but we can now see a little bit of light, a new day, a new song emerging on the horizon. We're still here. I think that's why the Spirit hovers and says, even in the midst of a dark place that you may find yourself in, I'm still here. I'm still at work. Even if it seems like nothing is happening, that breath and movement and fluttering of God's Spirit is doing something bigger and beyond what you or I could ever imagine. And the story doesn't end there. The same breath that spoke things into existence at the beginning of the story, the same breath that exhaled our world into being, is the very same breath we inhale, the breath inside of us. God's exhale becomes our inhale. That breath becomes our life. To become a living soul means to come alive and awake into a relationship and connection and love to God and to one another. The soul is the part of us that connects to the eternal. Cultures have tried to describe this breath of life. In Hawaiian, it's called aloha. Most people think aloha simply means hello or love, but its original meaning is made up of the words alo, to go with, and ha, which is breath of life. And so it literally means to go with the presence of breath. When I began writing this message, I didn't know I'd end up filming at the Shindel Gallery. And I didn't know that this beautiful painting created by Danielle Renata would form part of the visual backdrop. But I love how the Spirit has been at work connecting these pieces together. Danielle's painting is called Ha, Breath of Life. And here's how she describes her art piece, which was inspired by the Maori indigenous peoples of New Zealand. Within Maori culture, the ha is known as the breath of life. It's the action shared in a hangi, the traditional Maori welcome, where people press their noses and foreheads together. And it creates this physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual connection between people. In this particular image, an ancestor shares this space with her descendant, allowing them both to be present with one another in companionship. When I hear the story, and meaning of this art piece. It resonates so deeply. This beautiful picture of the sharing of breath, this intimate moment of relationship and life coming together. And I imagine that's what the Spirit is doing here in Genesis, where God's breath comes and touches and kisses and enters into humans. And we enter into the story that's being created in us and around us. As I pause and immerse myself in this art piece and also in this gallery, it reminds me that God's Spirit and breath can create something out of my nothing. That God's Spirit can take the canvas of my life and breathe breath and beauty and color and purpose into my story and into your story. I love the title of this exhibit. It's called Healing in Color. It reminds me that good can still come from hard and dark and difficult and misty places. Vincent van Gogh said that art is to console those who are broken by life. And so an art gallery can absolutely be a sacred space. No matter where you find yourself today, know that God isn't finished with you. You are a work in progress. You may be in a place where it feels like there's no way out. Maybe it's in a relationship that's gone sour. Maybe it's an addiction or a habit or a behavior or a thought pattern that has cornered you into a tight, dead end. Maybe you're at a crossroads to make a decision of some kind, but you don't have clarity and all you can see is darkness and mist. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus and things just aren't what they ought to be. My prayer in this message, in this art gallery, is that you remember that God is present with you right here, right now, in this moment of time. St. Paul says it this way: long before God laid down earth's foundations in the beginning, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. May you remember that God's Spirit is hovering over whatever challenges and difficulties you may be facing in your life. And that even though you may not be able to see it right now, something is still happening. God is still at work. May you remember that God wants to breathe into your life today new possibilities, new life, a fresh inhale of his presence and love. God is for you. You are the focus of his love. The invitation is to open up our soul to breathe in that reality and truth today. So here's a few challenges I'd like to leave you with this week. Find an art gallery and allow yourself to get caught up in the beauty and inspiration and story that you find there. If you're not able to visit one in person, go online. Most of the major art galleries around the world have created wonderful virtual experiences. Or you can meditate on a beautiful piece of art that you have in your home or that you have in your memory. There's lots of ways to pause and immerse yourself in beauty. Let it remind you that you are a part of a much bigger, beautiful story, God's story, one inspired by love. Find a way to engage in some type of artistic creation. You may not consider yourself an artist, but that's okay. Try it anyways. Grab a paintbrush or a camera or some pen and paper. Michelle will, from time to time, grab a coloring book and she'll just start coloring away. And it can be so restorative and healing, even life-giving. And you end up with something that's never been seen before in that specific way that you've just done it. Have fun. And use creativity as an expression of love for the God whose very breath is in you. Let me close with these words from Paul inspired by the breath of God. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When Jesus looks at you, and when he looks at me, he sees a masterpiece, us. Each piece looks different. Each piece tells a different story. But all are being done by an artist who lives and breathes and moves from a place and design of divine love. No matter where you find yourself in the story today, know that you are a beautiful work in progress. There's still a lot of wet paint going on. It may not always be easy, and there may be a lot of questions along the way. But to paraphrase author Bob Goff, embrace uncertainty and the mist that may be around you. Some of the most beautiful and bright chapters and paintings in our lives won't have a title until much later. May you be filled today with God's Spirit and breath. Amen.